Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The game is over when the horn sounds. The analysis ends when you say it does. This is Overtime Open Line. Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. And now, the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chess.
Edmonton 4, LA 3. Kopitar won the draw, was belted up ice, but deflected right to Draisaitl, right circle. Snapshot fought off by Riddick. Climbed off the glass. Ekholm has the puck, maintains the LA zone, throws it to the opposite corner. 7 seconds to play. LA can't get it out of its own end. Floated toward the LA bench. McDavid will skate off the remaining time, and the Oilers have advanced to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs with a 4-3 victory in Game 5. Edmonton closes out the LA Kings and wins this best-of-seven series in 5. Well,
Jack Michaels and the thousands of vocal fans at Rogers Place taking you across the finish line of Round 1. Yes. For the third consecutive year, you know I love saying it, Rob, the Oilers have committed regicide. 7, then 6, and now 5 games this year. 4-3 the final tonight. Leon Draisaitl with a couple of goals. It will be either Vancouver or Nashville in the second round. It will be at least 2 days until we find out what happens there. We are live in Studio 99. Thanks a lot for joining us. Along with Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins for Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Well, Rob, the Oilers get it done, and a lot to talk about in this game because LA started very well. It was a bit of a wacky second period with some of the flow of play and the penalty calls. But then in the third period, Edmonton limiting the LA Kings to 5 shots on goal. One of them did go in to increase the tension at the end. But with the opportunity to close it out, the Oilers did a really good job in the final 20 minutes.
They did. It was a quick 20. There weren't a lot of whistles. The LA Kings, until they pulled their goalie, really had no pressure at all. They would get to the red line. The Oilers had it stacked up. The Kings would dump it in. Oilers would win the race, and they dump it out. And it was just killing time. Every time you looked up, there was 3 minutes left, 4 minutes gone, 5 minutes gone. And they just, you know, took any opportunity of a comeback away just minute by minute. So just like they did in Game 4, which I didn't think they had their strongest game, the final 9 minutes, they completely shut down an LA King team. They did that again in the final 20.
Stuart Skinner with the win in net. He stops 18 out of 21. David Riddick stops 22 out of 26 for the Kings. It was 1-1 after the first period, Rob, and it was not a great start to this game for the Oilers. The Kings came out and basically continued what they did in Game 4, so credit to them for that. They probably deserved a bounce, and they got one.
Yep, they certainly did.
A funny goal that Laferriere scored, but they were really good in the first period. The Oilers may be a little fortunate. Well, I don't know if bad goaltending is good fortune or not, but 1-1 after the first, and it was tense after that first period because LA was really doing well.
Well, LA played well. The problem for the LA Kings is they have to work so hard to create a scoring chance. You know, outside of Adrian Kempe, everyone else needs 4 or 5 opportunities, and the Oilers have players that only need one. When you play a team that's better than you, and the Oilers are a better team, you need to play a perfect game. And that means 2 things. That means discipline, which the LA Kings lost a little bit of, and good goaltending. And Riddick had what looked like an all-world save that eventually was called a goal. But the LA Kings lost by 1 goal in this game. And David Riddick let in an absolutely horrendous goal to start the game for the LA Kings. Now, does that change the way the game ends? I don't know. But if you want to beat a team better than you, you cannot afford a bad goal. And that was a terrible goal that Evander Kane scored on Riddick. So
basically stopped it and then scored
on himself. Yeah. So that's one that you would see in minor hockey, where the puck hits the little kid in the belly, and then he falls down and pushes the puck by mistake into his own net. But the LA Kings came out, and it's demoralizing. They're playing so well, and they give up a bad goal. Then they tie it up, and then they take an ill-advised penalty with 2 seconds to go in the period. And then the second period happened, and I would hesitate to guess that the LA Kings press conference, the players would be a little bitter with some of the calls that came in the second period, and rightfully so. But the bottom line for me is the LA Kings penalty killing unit was atrocious. This entire playoff and the previous playoff and the previous playoff to that, and they didn't change it. They were incredibly passive against a group of power play guys that with time and space will make anybody look silly. And the Kings never changed, and the outcome never changed. The Edmonton Oilers power play won them another hockey game.
So officially, the Oilers' power play is 1-for-5 tonight, though twice they scored within 4 seconds of a power play ending.
With the same group on the ice.
Which at 20% for the game is under the 35% I set the line at for River Cree Resort and Casino. Excitement, bet on it. So Sheila gets the $50 River Cree Resort and Casino gift card. But you said it, Rob. LA's PK, which was outstanding all year, could not figure out the Oilers' power play. And the Oilers' power play, I mean, we're witnessing history with this power play. What they've done the last 4 or 5 years, the way they keep producing, the way they have tendencies, but yet are also completely unpredictable. And now in the playoffs, we were seeing the coaching staff saying, like, yeah, first unit, go win us the series tonight. And yeah, those two goals were technically not power play goals, but they were scored because the first unit didn't leave the ice and just kept generating chance after chance.
Well, watch any other series in the National Hockey League and see how many times the first unit stays out for 2 minutes, 210, 220, whatever it takes. The only other team you will see do something similar would be McKinnon and in Colorado, and McKinnon is another one of those generational players, so that's why you see those guys get the extra time.
Oilers win 4-3. Here's head coach Chris Knobloch.
Overall defensively this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think over the years, you know, you just learn that those things sometimes are
someone else who didn't hear it.
More important in playoff hockey than, you know, scoring on the power play or whatever it may be. You know, I take big pride in defending. You know, sometimes it gets away from me a little bit maybe, but, you know, when it matters most, you know, I enjoy it. And I think our whole group as a whole has done a really, really good job of defending and doing it the right way. And obviously, you know, we're going to score enough. It's about keeping the puck out of our net.
You're on both the penalty kill and the power play. Both were very impressive. Which one are you most proud of in the series, the PK or the power play?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. Definitely both. Obviously, you can't, like, our power play gets a lot of momentum from creating, having success, and I know it works both ways, so to be able to sniff that out and have our PK rolling like it did in this series, it definitely is something that we're all proud of. We can still keep pushing, and obviously whoever's next is going to be a new challenge, so we look forward to that. But I mean, it's fun to be on both sides of it for sure. Special teams, I think, throughout the whole season play such a big part of any game, but I mean, when it comes down to playoffs, it can be the difference maker. So I think special teams was huge for us this this series, and we just want to keep building on that.
Leon, you guys eliminated LA in 7 games in 2022, 6 games last year, now it's 5 games. What was different this time around? What made you guys end this series a lot quicker?
I don't know. I think we're probably a better team this year than we were last year or the year before. We're more mature, which plays a big part sometimes. But that's a really good team over there. you know, they make it hard on you. It's an absolute grind against them every night. And, you know, hats off to the way that they compete and play the game. But that being said, obviously, you know, we did a really good job of getting our minds ready for that and just mentally being ready for the challenge.
Ryan, and after a tough start to the series, Stuart Skinner really turned his game around. Just some thoughts on how he performed in the last three games here.
I mean, he was outstanding for us. I think early in the series, we could have done a better job for him, too. So it always goes both ways. But, I mean, obviously, game four, shutout, 30-something shots. I mean, it's a massive game to sway the series, and he stepped up huge for us. And then tonight, when he had to, he made the big save. So we have full confidence in him. And I think just the way that we defend from the net out has improved over the years, and something that we take a lot of pride in right now.
Leon, just right here, you guys had to endure a lot of, you know, weird bounces, a lot of hard luck kind of things. How are you guys able to withstand that and overcome that and pretty much leave no doubt?
I think there's bounces going both ways. I think maybe the ones that we were on the receiving end felt a little more drastic than the other way around. But at the end of the day, you know, you work and create your own bounces. I truly believe that. And, you know, there's some really unlucky bounces against us for sure. But, you know, we've had a couple of those as well.
And Ryan, from winning game one onward, do you feel like this was maybe the most complete first round series that you've had as an Oiler? And if so, why?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first hurdle was winning game one. Obviously, we haven't been able to get that done in the past 6-7 years. I mean, so it definitely it gets you rolling. And then I thought they came out hard game two, and we gave up three in the first period, and we did a great job fighting back, but obviously took it overtime. And then from then, I mean, it just I think a big thing with our team now is we want to defend first and play from there. We have enough skill to be able to make them pay when we need to, but I think our group is defend first and go from there. But I thought it was a great first series. Obviously, we can enjoy it for now, but we're looking forward to the next.
Ryan, just over here on your right, when you look at your team's four victories, can you maybe talk about your team's ability to showcase its versatility, winning games in different fashions, and what that's going to do for your club moving forward as the games get a little bit tighter?
Yeah, it's something that you talk about all year. You got to win the 1-0, the 2-1 games. Obviously, you win the 1-0 game in game four. It's not an easy thing to do against a team that's playing a desperate game. And I mean, I think we had 13 shots. I mean, they make you that team makes you fight for every single inch. And it's those are the nights where you need to just make sure that every single play counts. You're focused on the little things, the little details, because one mistake can ultimately lead to them winning the game. So, like you said, I mean, we had two games where we scored a lot. A game where we only got the one on the power play, and then tonight, I mean, we just eked it out, and we just kept pushing and let our power play kind of take over. But I mean, it's a great sign to be able to win games in different fashions.
Leon, just back here. Early in the series, it looked like it might be a chippy series. There's a lot of stuff going on after the whistles and things like that, but it really seemed to calm down, and then you only took two penalties in the last two games. What was it about, you know, the way you guys approached that, and what is the reason that you guys were able to stay out of the box?
Well, I think that's, you know, part of the maturity that I've talked about or we've all talked about in the past. You know, the last couple of years, maybe there's a couple undisciplined penalties, and we didn't get into any of that because we knew how important the special teams are in these situations, right? And our PK was obviously perfect. So, you know, the game within the game, I thought we did a really, really good job with.
Oh, Leon, maybe speak to the idea of having, you know, a five-game series. You know, 2 years ago, seven games with LA. Last year, six. Grueling opening rounds. And, you know, you're playing a good team. That's what happens. But the benefit now of getting some rest, you know, if this is going to be a long spring, those things matter in increments. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think in the long run, which of course is our goal, to play for a long time, you know, these extra days are massive. They're critical. And, you know, same thing with the travel, right? Like, we lose tonight and you have to get back on the plane and head to LA. And, you know, now we, you know, get an extra couple of days of rest, which is really nice. And, yeah, we dug deep to earn that right to get a little bit of rest.
So I want to ask to both of you, maybe you can answer. How intently do you watch that game six on Friday, knowing that you're going to play one of those two teams?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be lying if I said that I'm not going to pay attention to it. But I think we're all going to, obviously, I don't know if we're watching it or definitely checking in, you know. This is our job. This is our life. So definitely going to, you know, pay attention to, you know, who we're going to face next.
Yeah. Of course, we're going to be, we're looking to choose who we're playing.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, that, of course, Leon Draisaitl and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. We will hear from Knobloch a little bit later on. They were at the mic for Edmonton International Airport. Fly nonstop to over 50 destinations. Fly EAA.com/nonstop. I'm sure they will be very interested in who they play in the next round. I'm just going to say this to Oilers fans. Just cheer for Nashville on Friday. Cheer for a game with about 400 hits. Maybe some extra overtimes. And then cheer for the same thing in Game 7.
Yeah.
The rest is very important, and the Oilers will get it. I would think. I don't know the Rogers Arena schedule. If
I know, I know the Vancouver one. There's a Pearl Jam concert there Saturday and Monday. So the Oilers, so if they play Vancouver, it'll be Tuesday. Would be the earliest they'd start there.
Right, because if it goes to Game 7, yeah, it might even be next Wednesday.
Probably, yeah. I would think I think it's going to be Tuesday or Wednesday if Vancouver wins one of the next two games. If Nashville wins Friday, what, Monday here maybe? Or Tuesday? I'm guessing the series.
No, if Nashville wins Friday, then they're going 7.
Oh, sorry, yeah, you're right. They're going. No. Oh, yeah. I'm guessing, yes, probably Tuesday or Wednesday.
It might be Tuesday at the earliest.
At the earliest, yeah, I agree.
By the way, second round tickets go on sale Friday at noon. So that's pretty cool. As the Oilers win 4-3 over the Los Angeles Kings tonight, they win the series 4-1. All right, we got plenty more post-game reaction coming up. Of course, we're happy to hear from you as well, 780-496-0063. We are live in Studio 99. It's Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oilers Hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
And his shot blocked, and Drew Doughty will spin away from traffic and hear it from the crowd. Halfway through the scoreless first period. Brunstrom in over the line. Lasada shot. And that's saved by Stuart Skinner, who has been rock solid, and he's had to be.
That is Stuart Skinner's save of the game for Crystal Glass. Call 310-GLASS or visit crystalglass.ca. 4-3 Oilers beat the Kings. They win the series 4-1 as Skinner was beaten on that funny goal late in the first period. I guess.
No, it wasn't funny. It wasn't funny for Stuart Skinner.
It wasn't funny for Skinner. It was an unusual goal. Yes. I guess the only... I'll just throw this one at you because it's a bad bounce. Ellie shooting the puck in. Every goalie in the league pretty much goes out to play the puck. I saw Ryan Whitney tweet, the former defenseman who does the, what's it called, the spit and chicklets thing now. The only he said it's a tough break. I guess the only thing you could, and he wasn't being like critical, he was just offering another point. He said the only thing you could say is in the last minute of a period, just tell your goalie to leave it.
Yeah, but what's the difference if a goal gets scored there coming out, or if a goal is scored 10 minutes? A goal is a goal. So you go out to play it, and it was just a horrible, horrible break for the Edmonton Oilers. Maybe in the last minute of a game. But even then, you're still
going
out.
And there was one he left late in the game.
Yeah,
I remember.
That's different late in the game because you don't want that to happen. But no, he did the right thing. It was just a bad break, and not only was it a bad break where it bounced, but the fact that it bounced right to the LA King player. So a lot of times you'll see it, and there'll be an Oiler, it'll come or it'll go all the way across. But it went right to the LA King. He put it into the empty net, and the Kings got the break they needed. Unfortunately for them, those breaks stopped, and in the second period, the Oilers' power play took over.
All right, let's go down to the Oilers' dressing room. Here is Stuart Skinner.
Just your thoughts on what happened on that one.
Yeah, obviously tough. I think just the timing is, you know, was really hard just because, you know, there wasn't much time left in the first period after that. So we were able to sit on it for a bit, but I think our response was absolutely massive. Again, getting bounces like that, like, it's just kind of, you know, what happens. Can't do too much about it once it does, and you know, it's about how you respond. And I think as a group, we did a really good job.
They eventually, I mean, they pushed back late in that period, but can you just maybe describe the first 13 minutes or so of that period, the way your group played? Maybe expect a huge push from them, but you guys just kind of weren't having it.
Yeah, that's just a huge credit to the guys in front of me. I think even when they did get a little bit of time zone, like, we were just, again, just blocking absolutely every shot and being able to get pucks out and then getting on the rush, getting on the forecheck, and you know, hem them down in the zone. And I think that was a big key tonight, is our first 10 minutes.
It's rare to shut out a team on the power play throughout a series. And what did you see on the penalty kill that was so successful?
Yeah, you know, you got to give a lot of credit to LA. They're changing things up and giving us a really hard time. I just think as a group, we were just so connected. I think we had a lot of good chemistry going on in this series where, you know, we were just kind of flown, you know, in the right spots at the right times because you know, we've gotten a lot of practice doing it, so it's been, it was really good and obviously really nice to see. It's a lot of confidence for our group, and again, when it counted, we got some unbelievable, massive blocks, so that's a huge credit to the guys in front of me. Even tonight, even the last game on the PK, I haven't gotten too many shots, so, you know, that's all the guys in front of me.
And when you're at the other end of the ice and then you see the Oilers power play come on the ice, you're probably thinking, okay, we just killed theirs. Our power play is so good.
Yeah.
You can stand back and watch it.
Yeah, I think that was a big key to this series. I mean, obviously you can see with the numbers, but, you know, power play and PK was crucial for winning the series.
To be able to finish the series tonight and, you know, get at least a few days off, how valuable is that to the team?
Yeah, I think it's huge, obviously, being able to win 5 games. Just like what you said, get a little bit of rest, and when we find out, we're able to prepare for the next team that we get to play in round two. And, yeah, I think that is really big. It's also big because, you know, LA's 3.5, sometimes 4-hour flight, so it's good in that sense as well.
You get a goal like that going in this building, off the glass? Like
in this building, I'm sure I have.
It happens in a basketball building, like in LA, where they're changing it.
Yeah, it's definitely happened to me many times in my career. But yeah, just again, tough timing and stuff happens.
All right, that is Stuart Skinner. Well, stuff has happened to him in the elimination of the LA Kings the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Because last year he was unknowingly playing with a
broken
stick that led to the pass, I think it was Deneau, that got the freebie and then has the bounce in tonight. Important thing is, Oilers won both those games. And as we know, there are bounces and breaks in every series. So that's Stuart Skinner. Again, the power play story tonight. So Edmonton officially is 1-for-5 for Conlon Motorsports to help get you out there. Visit one of Conlon Motorsports' 4 locations across Alberta or online at conlonmotorsports.ca. LA 0-for-1. First of all, huge credit to the Oilers. 12-for-12 on the PK in this series. LA is also saying, or maybe more, probably more their fans, probably the team too, they're saying, okay, wait a minute. Edmonton had 20 power play opportunities and we had 12.
Yep. And understandable. I think that we as fans here, there's a lot of nights that we think that the Oilers probably deserved more and that there were calls missed. I certainly think in this series, the Oilers were very benefit. They benefited from a lot of calls from the ref. I mean, you go back to the game where there's all the fights and everything. All of a sudden, the LA Kings end up with a the Edmonton Oilers end up with a 5-on-3 power play. Bob Stauffer was stumped on some of the calls that happened this series that benefited the Oilers. So if Stauff is stumped, you know that the Oilers were getting some breaks. But in all honesty, when it comes to the LA Kings getting more power plays, it wouldn't have mattered. They created nothing on their power play. No looks. They lost momentum most times on their power play. And to me, there was some coaching issues in this series with the LA Kings because their specialty teams were terrible the entire series, and there was no improvement or no changes made in the five games. So the reffing is reffing. You do what you do with the calls that are made. The Oilers took advantage of theirs, and the LA Kings did not.
Yeah, the Oilers' PK was very under control.
Yes.
I think the best shot LA had, I believe, was Kopitar, but he missed the net. It wasn't him that took that.
I thought it was Kempe, the one that came from the side.
The
yeah, in the slot, yeah.
It was Kempe, sorry.
I think it was Kempe,
okay.
But yeah, that was the first nice play they made,
right.
And
but
he missed the net.
I just think, and you know what, I'm going to give the Oilers penalty killers the fourth star for Jandell Holmes, Alberta's premier modular home retailer. I just think of Desharnais getting in the way, digging for pucks, Ekholm. Janmark read a couple plays and disrupted the Nugent Hopkins, Ryan, just smart, clearing the puck, and like you said, really sucking the life out of it, whether it was this game or other games, just not giving any LA, giving LA any momentum on
well,
the power play.
Well, if you think coming into the series, if you're looking at the positives and the pros and the cons of each team and which teams would have an advantage, the penalty killing of the LA Kings would have had a big check mark beside it. It's an advantage for LA over Edmonton. LA had the second best penalty killing over the course of the year. The Oilers' penalty killing had an up and down year. Some they'd go with a nice stretch of 18 in a row, then they give up 6 goals in 2 games. But in this series, it was no contest. And if you look at the way that both teams kill, the Edmonton Oilers very aggressive, all over the ice. Right on the blue line. They're aggressive in their own zone. They don't give you time and space. And the LA Kings, the opposite. Incredibly passive. They get into a very small diamond, and they stay there. They don't force. They don't pick up anyone in the neutral zone. So to me, in the playoffs, you've got to be aggressive. And the Oilers were having success. The Kings weren't. The Kings never changed. That, to me, is all coaching. But the advantage that the Kings may have had, one of the few, I think, going into the series, it didn't come to fruition as the Edmonton Oilers penalty killing badly outplayed the LA Kings penalty killing.
So the Oilers win at 4-3 to take the series in 5 as we update the scoreboard for Advantage Trailer Rentals, your one-stop source for commercial trailer rentals. Visit AdvantageTrailerRentals.com. It was Dallas winning their third in a row against the Golden Knights, 3-2 the final, so they lead the series 3-2. The home team finally wins in that series. One game tomorrow, 6 o'clock Mountain Time, Maple Leafs home to the Bruins. Bruins lead the series 3-2. Okay, you're going to hear from head coach Chris Knobloch in a few minutes. We'll call a quick timeout from a much busier than it usually would be on a Wednesday night, Studio 99. A very happy oil country for sure. The Oilers are moving on. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
Power play set to expire. McDavid centers one-timer score. Drysdale's second of the night. And Edmonton has regained the lead.
Yeah, big goal there from Draisaitl, one of two for him in the game. He was the first star, by the way. Bouchard, the second star. McDavid, the third star. As the Oilers fill the net for James H. Brown Injury Lawyers, when accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. It's a $400 donation to 630 Ched Santa's Anonymous. They give $100 every time the Oilers score. So, Rob, that was the first of two goals right after a power play expired. Just relentless by the Oilers. I mean... Bouchard a couple of big shots. Mm-hmm. One I thought was going in. I think it just went wide. Riddick stopped one, yet I don't even remember which power play was which, because they're all Nugent Hopkins made that. Nugent Hopkins, and they've I feel like they're doing this more than they were earlier in the season. Maybe this is one of these wrinkles, because Nuge scored, I think, in game one. He's kind of, I'm going to back off and look for maybe, I'm going to the net for a tap-in, and they just missed one of those passes. I mean, the Draisaitl one-timer. Riddick did stop one, and then there was the one he caught in his glove, but they review it, and it's over the line. And it's just, and then when McDavid gets going around the net like that, that's up there with when Gretzky would stop behind the net. What's he going to do? When McDavid starts behind the net, what's he going to do? Who's he going to find?
In all honesty, what McDavid's doing is harder to defend than what Gretzky did, because Gretzky was in one spot. So at least, I mean, he was incredible at it, and he always made the right play, but it was still in the one spot. He wasn't scoring. But with McDavid moving and going as fast as he is, he also is a scoring threat. So he's got four guys he can pass to, and he can score himself. They have so many options off every play they make. If you come to the game or you watch on TV, they have the little huddle before every power play faceoff, and they will have a set play out of that. And if they win the faceoff, they'll run the set play, and the play is to this. It's here's the final outcome. But if that's not there, then there's this. If that's not there, they check down. It's like a quarterback who's back in the pocket and he's looking. Okay, there's my first receiver taken. Second, nope. Third guy trip, going to my fourth option, and they've got, and you rarely see it because a quarterback never has that much time, but when Connor McDavid's playing, he does, and Leon does. And when you have a passive penalty kill, they have that much more time. So, and I want to reiterate the fact that the Oilers' power play is not a 1.5 minute power play or 120 like most teams. They play the full 2 minutes and they extend it.
Yeah,
and
they will in the playoffs.
And they will. And two of the power play goals that weren't power play goals tonight, they scored after the power play had extended. So they were on for over 2 minutes. And I can't remember, but I'm guessing that one of those were the Oilers' best players were actually on the ice before the power play. So it was probably a 2.5 minute, 2 minute and 40 second shift. And that's just so hard to defend because you survive the first minute and a half. Oh, we still got another 30 to 40 seconds to go.
Yeah, I was thinking too as I was watching today, so when McDavid swoops behind the net, so I'm talking, he comes down the left side. I'm just going to take all the other players out of the equation. So he's gone down his offensive left, goes behind the net, and then he's coming out to the goalie's left.
Yep.
Ignore the other three players. Just consider McDavid and Draisaitl. So when McDavid does that, Draisaitl usually creeps in from that position. So he might stop, and McDavid gives him the puck, and he takes a quick shot. He often comes in and stops close to net, so sets a pick.
Yep.
So McDavid then
goes
has
around
more
him.
Room.
Yep.
So then once McDavid's going around, is he going to shoot, or is Draisaitl going to spin, present his backhand with his back to the net, and then do that quick turnaround shot, or is he going to spin with his forehand towards the net and try to tip in a pass for McDavid? So that's just like three or four options with two guys.
That doesn't
and
include the other guys.
Bouchard's at front. Hyman's in front. Now Nuge is driving the net. Like it's
well, incredible. And the thing is, there's only four defenders, and there's five options. So, and Connor McDavid is the number one option. If Connor comes around and no one takes him, he's going to the net and he's going to try and score. So you have to respect him, and he's coming so fast. So he's going from, for most penalty kills have, each guy has his little zone. So there's one, two, three, four penalty killers. Well, with Connor McDavid starts skating, he's in zone number one, so I've got him. Oh, he just left my zone. He's going to two, so now he's yours. And now zone got one who you just left. Now I'm looking for my new guy because Connor was my check. But Connor just left. Who am I supposed to get? And when Connor starts moving, there's confusion. And that's when sticks move and they open up shooting lanes, passing lanes. And Connor McDavid is, he might be the best that ever played the game at being on the power play. He takes full advantage of it. And so far as we've seen, the LA Kings have not figured out a way to stop it.
The Oilers win the game 4-3. They win the series 4-1. Whenever they score five or more in a game, we activate the Japanese Village goal light on 630ched.com. Japanese Village now open for lunch at Edmonton South and West Edmonton Mall, an afternoon celebration for the senses. Visit jvedmonton.ca. Here's Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch.
Well, Chris, your team gave you a good anniversary. Yes. What did you like about the game tonight? Your thoughts on it from start to finish?
I thought we played hard, and I thought we played pretty responsibly defensively, especially in the
third period. I know they got the goal at the end, but overall, I thought we did a really good job managing our lead. And then obviously the power play, you know, pretty much three power play goals. That was obviously the difference in the game.
Jim Hiller stood where you are and said, you know, it's a pretty easy one to write. One team executed on special teams and one didn't. Do you agree with that assessment, or, you know, can you maybe talk about your five-on-five play, what you thought about it in the series?
Yeah, overall, I think that was the difference in the series. I think it'd be pretty naive not to say that special teams was a huge impact on the series. You know, you look at our penalty kill. I believe we were 12 for 12. So not only was the penalty kill good, but I thought our discipline was good that we didn't take penalties. And then the power play, you know, 11, 12, 13 power play goals, depending on how you want to look at that. So that's a huge difference. You know, 5-on-5, it looks like they had the advantage. A lot of those were, you know, unfortunate events from us, like last night or tonight, off the glass, and game one, you know, there's three there that weren't like kind of unfortunate bounces, broken stick, two off skates, but you know, I think overall 5-on-5, you know, they probably had a little bit of edge, but the difference definitely was the special teams.
You seem to keep pretty much everybody engaged. You were rolling lines. You have a guy that wasn't even in the lineup at the start of the series making a huge play in the last couple minutes of the deciding game. Just maybe speak to your depth and how usable everybody is. And you got good players in the press box, too, that are NHL.
We do have good players in the press box. It's hard not to be playing them. But, you know, DR, you know, these two games that he's played, you know, the end of the game four, the 1-0 game in L.A., you know, he's out there quite a bit in the last 5 minutes. Tonight, you see the desperation on with him with after breaking a stick and the plays that he was making. You know, we've got some good players that are not playing, as you mentioned. And those players we've trusted quite a bit throughout the year with the penalty kill. So, you know, with a one-goal lead, I trust them out in those situations.
Even strength, I know, and Connor even said maybe there's some more added even strength, but you know, how impressed are you with the fact that there wasn't a lot of cheating to try and find that offense at even strength? And maybe that's not the case with this group, you know, when they were a little bit younger.
Yeah, I've been very happy with how they've been playing, and you know, I've always said, you know, mistakes happen, it's a game of hockey. And sure, we had mistakes, but you know, they weren't selfish mistakes. They weren't they were just mistakes, because you got to give credit to LA, because they were making, you know, they've got good players, they're going to make good plays. But you know, I'm very happy with the way the guys played defensively with structure.
Chris, you referenced kind of the bad bounces that went against your team, the one tonight, the ones earlier in the series. How are you able to overcome those and not let them kind of bog you down and ultimately, you know, hurt you?
We've been talking about it all year, about this being a mature group and being able to handle adversity, and whether there's a bad call from a referee or an unfortunate bounce or just a bad play, that we've been able to stay composed and we're going to move on. And you know, through the regular season, it's much easier than when it's in the playoffs. But I think we're preparing ourselves for the playoffs, and I think we had a lot of learning experiences through the season to prepare us that when something like that happens, it's just move on, let's get ready for our next shift.
I just wonder, over the course of these five games, what did you like most about your team? What can you take forward to the next round that will hopefully, for your case, serve you well?
Well, the special teams, the way the penalty kill's working, the way the power play's working, and, you know, whoever we see next round, the power play is going to look different just because of the way the other team's going to kill, whether it's more pressure or whatever they want to do. We'll have to be prepared for that. Same with our penalty kill. Our penalty kill is great against LA, but we're going to see different setups, whether it's a different shooter or formation, whatever it is. We're going to have to adjust.
Chris, normally a coach has a beer after you finish the series, but this is your anniversary. Were you thinking of a bottle of wine in the dressing room or what? Did the assistants give you a bottle of wine?
I haven't seen any yet, but I'm sure I'll have some kind of beverage tonight.
And Leon's offense scored the two goals, but his overall game tonight was excellent. We overlooked that, how well he plays defensively as well.
I couldn't agree more. I think Leon doesn't get enough credit about how well he plays defensive hockey, whether it's a regular season or the playoffs. You know, he's good at it. And in the series, I think that was a huge difference, that how well he played at both ends of the rink.
As Chris Knobloch, happy 20th anniversary to him and his wife, as the Oilers beat the Kings 4-3 to win the series 4-1. He was asked about Derek Ryan, who's out there with mm-hmm. no stick for a large portion of the shift there when the Oilers were protecting a one-goal lead.
Might have got away with a little hold that created the breakaway situation into the empty net for Leon Draisaitl. It's funny. He's been in the press box, and when you play in the fourth line, your minutes are more limited than in others, but he's found himself on the ice in important situations. Plays a lot in the 1-0 game in the last 5 to 7 minutes in game four. Tonight, you know, the Kings pull within one. He goes out for a big faceoff, breaks his stick. Now that he's the furthest person away from the bench. He's a long way to go. Twice he thought about going to the bench, but he stayed out. But two great desperation plays he made. The second one, he might have got away with a little hold, but the play allowed the puck to get out. And who knows, if LA is able to get the puck and score there, we may be going back to LA for a game six. So Derek Ryan understands his role, and I thought in the last two games he played it perfectly, and goes to the what Knobloch said, we got good depth. We got players in the press box that are capable of stepping in and making an impact in the games.
Yeah, Connor Brown and Sam Carrick scratched tonight. Brown didn't play in the series. Carrick played initially, and then Ryan's been in. And as much as, sure, LA could probably strongly debate a couple penalty calls tonight, Oilers fans could probably say it could have been an awarded goal to Leon.
I don't know.
It's close.
I don't know the rule on that.
You got to have a clear path. And also, I was watching the replay, and he had the puck, but he'd kind of put it a little bit ahead of himself.
I don't know.
I think if Leon has the puck on his stick or was going to take a shot as he was hooked down, they might have given it to him.
I don't know.
Now, just
Deneau was not letting him score. He was not getting a goal there. And at the same time, two of the Kings were back at the far end arguing the non-call. They were not happy. But at that point, it's funny, I've played in a game once in the minors, and we had a power play with 30 seconds to go in the game in the offensive zone faceoff, and they scored against us. They won the draw, and they took a slap shot from their own end on our net, and the goalie gave up a rebound, and they won the race. It was really embarrassing, but the Oilers were much smarter than my minor league team did.
Yeah, and they just had 20 seconds to kill off there at the end. The Oilers are moving on. 4-3 win over the Kings tonight. We have Tony at 780-496-0063. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, boys. How's it going?
Good.
So I won't deny, when the series first started, I said six because I thought, like in my personal opinion, game two, I thought we came out and we thought this was going to be an easy series, and I thought LA was going to give us one heck of a run. They did. I won't deny that. I have a question for you guys. Do you guys think that it was more of LA's depth that didn't help much in the series, or do you think it was just more of Edmonton finding the will to win? Edmonton's or LA's depth, like, you know, Fiala, Dubois.
I think it would be more Edmonton's top end skill. Edmonton's the better team. They got the top end skill. They have the better goaltending. I said at the trade deadline, I know Reed and I talked about it, the LA Kings were not going to go far in the playoffs with the goaltending they had. I just did not think this was a strong enough goaltending tandem. And then the trade they made, the Pierre-Luc Dubois trade, that is, to me, the worst contract in the National Hockey League right now. He's got, 8 years at $8.5 million? He was a fourth-line guy in this series, and the one thing I remember about Dubois is his compete level was so high. Whether it was Columbus or Winnipeg, he seemed like a pain to play against. He was not noticeable in this series. So for me, the LA Kings made a trade. And it was funny, Bob and Jack at the end of the game talked about LA and Bob said the LA Kings are a better team than they were, but so are Edmonton, and Jack disagreed. And I'm on Jack's side. I don't think this is as good a team as the LA Kings were the last 2 years, and a big reason is they gave up three pretty good players for Pierre-Luc Dubois, and Dubois' contract forced them to get rid of a very good defenseman in Durzi, who we saw in Arizona. So this to me, this LA team is not as strong as they have been in the past, and goaltending and Dubois are the reason.
Well, yeah, their goaltending. I mean, they had Quick 2 years ago, and Corpusalo. No, the Oilers eventually figured him out.
Yeah,
but he was good in the first
three games. Yeah,
I mean, Talbot let in what, seven? I guess one was an empty netter. 6-4-6.
Yeah, so it was 16 goals in three games.
And Riddick's save percentage won't be. And again, the first goal tonight.
It was terrible.
That's an awful goal.
You can't, when you're playing a team better than you, you have to, everything's got to go your way. And that goal was horrible. And I can't fault him on the power play, but he never made a save. I mean, there was the one, not the glove save that went behind the line, but the other one-timer. I mean, Leon is great and one of the best goal scorers in the world, but at some point you got to make a save for your team. Riddick didn't, and neither LA King team goaltender made a save for them. So goaltending, the Edmonton Oilers goaltending was much better than the LA Kings.
All right, the Oilers win it 4-3. We got more coming from the Oilers dressing room. Time for you at 780-496-0063. We are in Studio 99. It's Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chan.
Ian Kempe unable to connect down low, and it's brought up ice by Kane. Beautiful pass to Kulak. Back to Kane. A backhander save. Rebound. And Edmonton takes a 1-0 lead.
Yeah, that was one that made it 1-0, and I just like Jack. I thought Drysdale poked it in, but it actually just went off Riddick, and he kept sliding backwards, and the puck kind of went with him, and Drysdale didn't need to touch it. So it was Kane's goal, just the Oilers' second shot of the game, 10-17 into the evening, as the Oilers beat Los Angeles 4-3 to win the series 4-1.
Yeah, no, it was the Oilers had to take care of business today. They did, and because of that, they're going to get plenty of rest before they play their next series, whether that is the Vancouver Canucks or the Nashville Predators.
All right, we have Chris on the hotline. Chris, thanks a lot for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Reed. Hey, Rob. How are you guys doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Well, I got to say, this whole series, quite the performance by the Oilers, I got to say. You know, aside from the blip in game two, it was a very professional series they played for the most part. And, you know, it's funny, you go from a 6-1 win in game three to a 1-0 in game four. And, you know, I knew it was going to be a close game. And, you know, it kind of fitting, it was close right to the last play. And kudos for them for, you know, the bend but no break for sure. And you know what? I look forward to seeing who we play next. You know what? I kind of would like to see Vancouver just because, you know, there was that talk, I think it was back at All-Star break when I think it was Friedman had and Jeff Merrick had Connor and Leon talking, chatting with All-Star break, and they still remember those games where, to quote Leon, they spanked us pretty good during those first games when, you know, the team wasn't very well, and it'd be interesting to see how the reverse or how if the tables were to turn, and, you know, for those who would say that you know, to not go by always the regular season results, you know, look at the Winnipeg Jets. You won all three against Colorado, and look what they did to you in the first round this year. It's going to be a fascinating one, and I'll leave this one here for any Kings fans who happen to listening. Just, I don't know, maybe a little more insult to injury on the Dubois trade, because there's everyone forgets the second-round pick that they threw into that deal they got from Arizona when they traded Sean Durzi away. So technically four players they lost in that deal for Dubois. Point. So yeah, I know Rob, you and Bob were talking about you know, the invisibility. Not sure what he was thinking on that penalty on I think it was Leon in the second period.
Yep.
But it was a I'm not sure what the Kings are going to do, and I tell you what, I don't want to be in Rob Blake's position right now, but you guys have a good night, and let's go Oilers for the next round.
Yeah, appreciate it, Chris. Good call, good catch there on that trade. Actually, the Dubois penalty is one of the ones I thought.
That to me, I didn't think that was a good call. But the one thing you saw, Dubois was making a beeline to Leon. He was frustrated. He was going at him. I don't think it was a good call on the play, but I don't think it was a well-reffed hockey game if you're an LA King fan.
What do you think about Leon getting kicked out of the circle so much? Like, what's that happening over and over again?
It is odd. I mean, he's one of the best centermen in the National Hockey League for taking faceoffs. The Oilers, I don't know what the final stats were, but the Kings dominated.
Well, they dominated. Yeah,
65 to 35 or something along that.
It ended 58.6 okay. For LA, but they were over 60 most of the game.
And a big part of that is if Leon's not taking faceoffs, you just lost your best faceoff guys. So I don't know what the reasoning is. That'd probably be a good question to ask Leon, because Leon's one. He's got first-hand knowledge of what the referee or the linesman keeps telling him, but it didn't affect them in this series. But at some point, not having your best face-off man take face-offs will eventually come back and bite you.
All right, we got Cody as well. Good morning, Cody. Go ahead.
What's going on, man?
Not much.
Not much. Just actually wanted to comment on the play of the Oilers. Great, we're moving on to the next round. But is this going to be enough going forward? I actually don't feel the effort or the grittiness is going to be enough when we start playing some teams that are better than the LA Kings. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think we'll find out. I mean, I think every matchup is different. I think you've survived. I think the Oilers, I don't know. I'm reluctant to question effort or grit. I think you have to give LA a lot of credit. I mean, LA was trying to stop what Edmonton was doing. And Edmonton was trying to stop what LA was doing. So I don't know.
I have no.
There were nervous moments in this series, but they still won.
I don't question their effort or grit at all. I mean, there's going to be teams they play against that might have more talent within them, or might have a better goalie, or might have better this. But I thought their effort was excellent. Watch the third period of today's game. Watch the third period, the last 10 minutes of the game in L.A. when they put their hard hats on and decided they were going to limit the opportunities against, they did. So I have a hard time finding fault in a five-game series that you're the winner in. We'll see what happens in the next series, but I can't find a lot of faults in this series for the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been great if the Oilers, and I said it after the first period, that's not what I expected.
Nope.
I thought they'd have a little more energy after the last game, but yeah, there are two teams out there. If they played this way against somebody else, I don't know. They played LA tonight. That's all they could do. You know, all the Rangers could do was play Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a series. They were supposed to sweep them, and they did. If it would have gone to five or six, I'm sure it would have been like, well, how could the Rangers not beat them in four? You moved on. That's the big thing to me, Cody.
Yeah, I agree. I have no problem with the Oilers' effort or grit in this series at all.
We have Zach on the line as well. Zach, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going? It's been a while since I called in. I was about 10 in 2006 when I last called in.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well,
welcome back.
I definitely was not here. No, you weren't here either, were you, Rob?
Yeah.
I started.
So, I got a couple points that, you know, sometimes they get really sloppy, like really sloppy, and it feels like they can't snap out of it without a period break. You know, what can they do to stop that? You know, do they take, you know, sacrifice some of that, you know, timeout time sometimes? Because sometimes you can just see they're just struggling. And then, you know, next point, just game four, you know, big wide shot difference, but it felt like the Oilers and Skinner, like, really had them locked down. And there's lots of good defensive things going on, lots of shots from the outside. But in this game, it felt like they had, you know, the lockdown of game four, but they had that offensive power that really helped them push it forward. And, you know, was game four, you know, almost a strategy test? Like, what, you know, what were they doing there that was so much different than, you know, having 13 shots is pretty weird for them, right?
Well, yeah. A big reason is they had five power plays tonight. In game four,
yeah,
they had
they
one.
They shot L.A. badly in the second period, 16-5.
Yeah, when the others, most of the other shots tonight were on their power play. And in L.A., they only had the one power play, and I don't even know if they needed more than one shot. I think they might have scored on their first shot on the power play. So it's funny that we've got a couple questioning the Oilers in this series. I thought the Oilers came in, they played a good L.A. team that was only 5 points behind them in the standings, and they beat them in five, and the only game they lost was an overtime game. So to me, it gets harder.
Yep.
The next series, Washington or Nashville, or excuse me, Vancouver or Nashville, will be a better team. The third round, you're getting Dallas, Vegas, or Colorado, all excellent teams, and whoever comes out of East is capable of winning the Stanley Cup. So it's going to get harder. The Oilers are going to have to get better. But to me, I'm celebrate the 4-1 victory and the fact they get a week off before they have to play again.
Well, and as we always talk about, each game is a you know, Todd McLellan used to speak about this too. You got 60 minutes to figure out the problem. Mm-hmm. In a regular season, you might have 65 and then a skills competition. In the playoffs, you might have 60 and then who knows. I understand where Cody was coming from. Like, okay, is the way they played tonight good enough against other teams? Well, I don't know, because the 60-minute problem against other teams on any given night might be a little different. And figuring out that problem is a skill. And that's, you know, what Zach just said. Whatever he called it about winning 1-0.
They figured it out.
They figured it out. They realized, okay, this game is probably going to end 1-0 or 2-1.
Yep.
So we have to make sure.
We're on the right side of it.
We're on the right side of that.
And they were.
And they did. And yeah, today was the first period great and a chance to advance. No.
But
they took advantage of the chances that they had.
Yeah, they took advantage of the power play, and they got the goaltending when they needed it. So, to me, this was a good series. Think about it. The last 3 years they played L.A., they went 7 games, then they went 6 games, they went 5 games. So they're improving in their rounds against the L.A. Kings.
All right, let's go back down to the Oilers' dressing room. Here's Darnell Nurse.
Like, fast about the way your team was able to win this series, maybe a bigger picture here.
Yeah, obviously special teams. I think PP and PK were very good throughout the series. We won a variety of different ways. You know, we were down in games and found ways to come back. Had to check our way to wins. We're able to score enough goals to win in one game. So for us, it's important to take some of the lessons. I think that obviously the Kings were a really good team, and this is a hard-fought series. No matter how many games we won, it was very hard-fought, and there's a mutual respect, I think, between teams, and probably a mutual dislike too. So it was a hard-fought series, and we take it and get our rest and get ready for the next one.
Took one penalty tonight, one penalty the other night. So discipline part of that as well. Like, you guys weren't in the box very much.
Yeah, no, I think it's especially at this time of the year, teams that you're playing against, their power plays are so lethal, and their top players, the more power play touches that they get, the better they're going to feel throughout the game. So I think our discipline was a huge factor, especially in these last 2 games, and that's just got to continue here for us to have success.
Darnell, can you talk about, everybody knows about Leon's offense, but just kind of his two-way play, back check and defensive play, face-offs, D-zone, just kind of what you liked about his non-offensive game?
Yeah, I mean, he made so many, like, numerous defensive plays, whether it was, like you said, back checking, just being in the right spots in the D zone and picking off passes, or being first to loose pucks. He's on the right side of the puck, all game long. So he was a horse for us. Really led by example how to play a two-way game, and he was huge in the series.
This is maybe as complete a first round series as you guys have had since you've been here. What's the evolution of this team in the playoffs since the years?
Yeah, I think there's obviously a level of comfort just having been through this a few times. I think it also, that comes to the calm within our game, and being able to weather different storms. And it was a good sign of what's to come. But there's still so much hockey that we're hoping to play here throughout the rest of the season, or rest of the spring here. So for us, it's important to keep picking it up.
Fair enough. Is there always going to be in a long
playoff run, you've got to get one series that ends quickly. You can't all be seven-game series, or all of a sudden those games stack up.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know. I'm not sure the history of the league and the teams that have won in their series. Well, there you go. So, yeah, I think when you get into this situation as a team and players, and it doesn't matter how long series go, you gotta revamp, rest up, and get ready for the next one. So you just take it a day at a time.
There are a lot of weird bounces in the series. A couple of very obvious ones tonight, but did you feel like you're still always in control, regardless of those?
Yeah, I think we weathered them really well. Obviously, over the when you're playing a game or playing a team, over four or plus games, there's going to be bounces and whatnot that go on. It's how can you stay calm and just play through it, and those are things you can't control. We controlled what we could control this whole series, and that's I think for us, just staying in the moment and playing those playing after those bounces, that was a good sign for our team.
All right, that is Darnell Nurse helping the Edmonton Oilers win 4-3 against the LA Kings tonight. The Oilers claim the series in five. You'll hear from Captain Connor McDavid when we bring you back to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
Edmonton 4, LA 3. Kopitar won the draw, was belted up ice, but deflected right to Draisaitl, right circle. Snapshot fought off by Rittich. Climbed off the glass. Ekholm has the puck, maintains the LA zone, throws it to the opposite corner. 7 seconds to play. LA can't get it out of its own end. Floated toward the LA bench. McDavid will skate off the remaining time, and the Oilers have advanced to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs with a 4-3 victory in Game 5. Edmonton closes out the LA Kings and wins this best-of-seven series in five.
That's how it ended about an hour and 40 minutes ago here at Rogers Place. The Oilers eliminating the Los Angeles Kings. Here's Captain Connor McDavid.
Connor, what did you like best about what your team was able to accomplish in this series, the way you were able to win it?
A lot of things. Obviously, the special teams were great. I thought I saw a lot of composure, closing games out. I know they get one late there, but I thought that was a great third period. Maturity, a lot of good signs.
Very calm, your team. Just there was times when you could have been not calm. But you guys kept the cool pretty well in all the different situations throughout.
I thought there was lots of different situations, as you mentioned. I thought, you think about the series, obviously we get off to a good start, kind of give momentum away, but we're able to get it back. I think that shows, some growth. I think for us also, finding a way to stack some games, get it to 3-1 and finish off the series in Game 5. I think that's a big step for our group. Like I said, a lot of good signs, but it's only one series.
Go ahead and kind of touch on it already, but can you kind of talk about the response you guys had in the second period after winning down 2-1?
Yeah, I didn't love our first half of the game. I thought we were a little bit slow. I thought, for whatever reason. But I thought we had a great response. We found ways to draw penalties. I think they weren't very happy with some of the calls, but I think they're all penalties. All the way sticks in two on a backdoor play. Leo's getting dragged down. They're penalties. And, we found a way to capitalize, and then we found a way to close it out. All good things.
It seemed everybody had a role to play here. Like the depth that you guys have right now, Ryan, for example, wasn't even in the lineup to start. He makes a massive play in the last minute of this game.
Yeah, massive. We got lots of depth. Even the guys that didn't play in the series are more than capable of stepping up and stepping into big roles and important assignments. So we got lots of depth. That's a good sign.
We know you sat out last week. How important is it, these days of rest for you at this time? Looking at the schedule, might be up, 5-6 days potentially.
Rest is always a good thing. I think rest is a weapon at this time of year. And that being said, we got to make sure that we're ready to roll, practice hard against each other, make sure we're ready to go. And there's no... there's no change in our game.
Connor, the games are only going to get tighter as the playoffs continue. Can you maybe talk about the confidence that's instilled in this group when you guys display different ways of winning hockey games?
Yeah, two games where we close it out real solid, calmly. That's not to say that things aren't going to happen along the way. You know, everyone that's left is a good team. They got great players that are competing hard too. So things are going to happen along the way. I thought we showed really good composure here, giving up the one goal with 2 minutes to go. You know, that can rattle the group, and I thought our guys were just, you know, even keel and got it done.
Special teams are such a big factor in this series, I guess. Just, you know, what's more impressive, the fact that you didn't give up a power play goal or the fact that your power play was clicking at well over 50%?
I would say the penalty kill, not giving up a goal. That's real impressive. The job that those guys did, killing off, you know, big ones along the way. You know, I think of the penalty kill in game four in the third period. You know, that's huge. I thought everybody on the kill was, you know, moving their feet and doing their job and, you know, sacrificing their bodies, which is something that's not always the most fun thing to do. But, the kill, not giving up one, is a great thing.
Going back to the composure you just talked about, what is it about this group that allows you guys to be so composed in high-pressure situations?
Well, I think understanding that we've been in these situations before, you know, that's where you can maybe draw on your experience, you know. I'm going to say experience and maturity. You know, we're not a young team here. We got lots of guys that have played in big games and been in big situations. And those ups and downs and those momentum swings are all part of it.
You guys are defending well. Special teams obviously going really well here. Would it be fair to say that even strength offense is maybe a focus you're heading to the next round?
For sure. You know, finding a way to score some goals, even strength, would be a great thing, obviously. Our team is always going to be, you know, big on the power play. You know, special teams are always going to be a part of the game. They're a big part of the game this time of year, and we just happen to be really good at them. You know, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't think that's a knock on us. You know, with that being said, we can find ways to hang on to some pucks, play some more in their zone. Give LA a lot of credit. They broke a lot of pucks out, I thought. They're a tight checking team, like I've said, you know, ad nauseum here. So,
Leon's complete game throughout the whole series.
Yeah,
offense.
Yeah, great. You know, winning big draws out there at big moments, winning a big battle there at the end of the game to not only get the puck out but draw a penalty. Those are huge things. You know, he's a big man, and when he's got his feet moving, and he's playing, you know, hard on both sides of the puck, there's not many guys better than him in the whole world. It's impressive to watch, and he always seems to bring that game this time of year.
He knew that one was in too. Did you know it was in?
I couldn't see it at all. Yeah, no, I couldn't see it at all. Saw him maybe point to it, then I saw the bench kind of react, and you know, I'm not one. Yeah, I thought it was big. I thought there was kind of two weird ones in the game. I thought, you know, their first one's a weird one, and that one's kind of a weird one. But you know, I think it deserves. It's a goal. You know, whether or not he reaches back or not.
Had to see the puck. They always say, "Oh, I didn't see the puck. It might have been in his glove." But
yeah, that was their argument. I haven't looked at it. It counted, and that's all I know.
That is Connor McDavid. Thanks to Brendan Escott for getting us all the post-game audio from Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch and the players who spoke tonight as well. You can get more on this game, more on the Oilers on 630chet.com or globalnews.ca. Our next game broadcast presented by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. There will be one. We don't know when or who they're going to be playing. But keep it on 630 Chet, and we'll tell you as soon as we know. It's either going to be Vancouver or Nashville. They play Game 6 on Friday. Thanks to Troy Bowler, our game day engineer here at Rogers Place, and to Kellen Kennedy, our studio producer back at 630 Chet. They've done it thrice, 3 years in a row. Eliminated the LA Kings in the first round. 4-3 the final as the Oilers win the series 4-1. We've been live in Studio 99. On behalf of Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. Thanks for listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Have a good night.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.